my perfect, like my favorite fasted pre-workout hydration mix is, 32 ounces of clean water, spring water.
Yep.
I'll add in a scoop of either Element, either like a full packet of Element, yep. or as of late, I've been doing Relyte, R-E-L-Y-T-E.
Okay.
Which is, in my opinion, a better alternative to Element now because the salt they use is Redmond Real Salt from Utah. So it's got zero.
Yeah, I'm getting ads on Instagram about, I don't know which
for
one.
For Redmond?
No, about other ones saying our, that's like shows you theirs and shows you Element.
Yeah.
You know, ours is better for.
Yeah, I think Neon is probably one of them. I got ads for that too. Anyway, Redmond Real Salt is going to have 60 minerals in it, zero heavy metals.
Okay.
So it's great.
Okay.
Anyway, one scoop of the Relyte in clean water. I do 5 grams of creatine monohydrate, also from Keon. Mm. And then I'll add in one or two scoops of the essential amino acids. And then I'll do one pack of Timeline Urolithin A, which is like superfood for a mitochondria.
What is that one?
Timeline. It's MitoPure Timeline Urolithin A. And they have these little individual packets of the Urolithin A with like a blueberry powder. So it's like this delicious mix of stuff that just gets you, oh my gosh, on a different level in the morning.
I might need you to send me that.
There is only one supplement that I think almost everyone on this planet should be taking, and that's a full-spectrum and highly bioavailable magnesium supplement because, well, let's face it, ever since the Industrial Revolution, our soil has been depleted of magnesium. And therefore, our food is depleted of magnesium. And on top of that, our modern environments, which are inherently overstimulating and stressful, are constantly depleting our body of magnesium. And unlike other nutrients, this is not something that your body can produce on its own. It literally needs to get it from the diet. And one individual kind of magnesium alone is not enough. You actually need 7 different kinds to support over 300 biochemical reactions that help regulate your nervous system, red blood cell production, energy production, managing stress and emotions, etc. And so the folks at Bioptimizers have made it very easy and convenient to add back in what the modern world leaves out. They've created Magnesium Breakthrough. Now, I've been taking this for the past 2 years, and the biggest benefits that I've seen are related to my evening wind down sessions and my sleep. I tend to be pretty overactive in the evenings, just totally overthinking everything that I do. And this has helped me wind down and get more restorative, more efficient sleep. So I wake up feeling way more refreshed, more energized, more clear, more ready for the day. And the way that I see it, sleep is upstream of essentially every other health and wellness related habit and decision. Because if you're sleeping better, automatically you're going to have more regular cravings. You're going to have higher insulin sensitivity. You can derive more of all these inputs like fitness, right? You make more gains, you gain more muscle, you burn more calories, and you wake up feeling refreshed so that you can do it again and again and again. And then beyond the fitness, you have more energy to go for a walk, to do fun activities with friends. You are less stressed, so you can socialize anxiety-free. And you're also going to be retaining, refreshing, and refining your skills and information much, much better, so you won't forget any names. And yeah, I mean, like I said, over 300 biochemical processes that you're supporting with magnesium. Then sleep, I mean, wow, better sleep is just a better life in general. So I found it extremely helpful on a personal level, and I'm sure that you guys will find it helpful too. Your mind and body, and maybe even your spirit will thank you. So anyway, if you want to get a sweet little discount off of this amazing, amazing magnesium supplement from Bioptimizers, all you have to do is visit the show notes. So you scroll down right now, takes just a couple seconds, and boom, you'll have access to all 7 different kinds of magnesium that your body needs. All you have to do is hit the link and use code KYP for Know Your Physio. KYP. That's all. Enjoy 10 to 22% off depending on the package you choose, whether or not you subscribe. I'm obviously subscribed because I don't even want to think about whether or not I'm going to get this essential supplement in the mail. And yeah, hope you guys enjoy that awesome stuff. And that's all for now. I'll see you guys on the show.
Welcome back to the pod. I don't know what episode it is. We don't even have a name. I don't really care. I'm here with my health coach, Andres, and we're about to get started. This is kind of like a hybrid between like a regular podcast episode and me just doing my health, my like weekly or monthly, because I've been negligent the last month. Supposed to do this weekly, but we haven't done it for like a month. So this is kind of like a hybrid between a podcast episode and a weekly check-in meeting with my coach, Andres. So without further ado, let's get started.
Awesome.
The first thing I wanted to talk, I was going to make a list of things to talk about, but I just ran out of time, but I know them. I'm definitely bordering on caffeine abuse. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say abuse, but I had a bad relationship with caffeine before, so I want to make sure and talk to you about my caffeine. And then I want to talk about sleep, because sleep is like, I definitely think that my sleep quality has gotten better because we put that. That was like basically the biggest thing that we talked about the first few sessions. And let's start with the caffeine. The caffeine. Okay, so my daily consumption of caffeine is I wake up, I have water, I have Athletic Greens, and then a half an hour later, I have a one cup of coffee, and then I wait like another half an hour, and then I have pre-workout. Mm-hmm. Which I have two scoops of pre-workout, mm-hmm. And it has about 160 milligrams per scoop. So that's like 320 milligrams right there. And it actually doesn't affect me that, I don't know why, what it is, but I don't feel that caffeine that strong. Like the coffee, I feel the caffeine more than I do with the pre-workout for some reason. I feel the beta-alanine, like the jittery, like that little, not jittery, but I feel like, you know the beta-alanine feeling?
Yeah.
Which is cool. I actually
flush,
like it.
Tingling.
It's like a tingling. It only comes when I'm really doing my warm up cardio, and then after the gym, I have a protein shake, and then I have an energy drink, which has 112 milligrams of caffeine at around noon, and then sometimes I have like a coffee or an espresso around 2 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that come out to? That's like 550?
It's like 500 something. Yeah.
500. It's pretty high.
Yeah.
But that I'm never having caffeine later than like 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
But I feel like I'm still sleeping well. I don't think it's affecting my sleep, but I'm just aware of it. And I just wanted to see what you thought about, you know, I'm using pre-workout every day, which I also don't know if mm-hmm. that's good or recommended, or is it suboptimal? Like, so yeah, what are your thoughts on that regimen of caffeine?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me back, man. Mm-hmm. It's great to be here.
Of course, brother.
I know that this doubles as our, you know, weekly health consult, but mm-hmm. it's great that we get to have this conversation and share value with your audience.
I love it. I think it's so cool.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, man. I'll just start by saying that I know that this is going to be very valuable, because caffeine is the most widely abused drug in the world.
I think alcohol is more abused.
No, it's quite. This is like a fact.
In terms of volume, caffeine is more, because it's just you can function a lot more on caffeine than you can on alcohol. But people can function on alcohol too. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, but the key word is abused drug.
Yeah,
most
widely
abused.
And for sure.
Yeah, of course, a lot of people drink and abuse alcohol as well. I think alcohol is number two, or nicotine might be number two.
Okay,
but yeah, it's, you know, so you want to have a good relationship with it, because, you know, caffeine is going to make you more productive, right? Like these big companies and corporations, they schedule in like coffee breaks because, you know, even though the employees aren't there working, the productivity boost that they get compensates. The net difference is greater, you know.
But so, I see a lot of content around like the benefits of going to zero caffeine, or like very low caffeine, and then when you really need it, you use a little bit, and it's like amazing how strong it is.
Yeah, so, because you want to improve the sensitivity to it.
Right.
So the way that let me just describe some of the ways that caffeine works, and then we'll get into how you can have a better relationship with it.
Okay.
Because I mean, it's not to say that 500 is just all of a sudden bad. Like, yeah, it's a big number. It's more than most people, but I'll just, you know, share this with you. Like, there's a you can have a genetic predisposition that allows you to break down caffeine four times faster than the average person. I think don't quote me on this, but I think that it works on the what's called the CYP450 enzyme. I could be wrong. I could be confusing that for something else with fat metabolism. The point is that there is a gene that gives you a predisposition for, you know, faster breakdown. So,
okay.
Like, for example, my next door neighbor, he has an espresso at night and he sleeps great, you know, 2 hours later. So for most people, the half-life of caffeine is going to be about 5 hours, which means that it's going to take about 10 hours for you to have metabolized at least 90% of it.
Okay.
And then, you know, technically you'll get, you know, better sleep that night. So one of my go-to kind of like basic suggestions for most people in caffeine is you don't want to get in that perpetual cycle of like you're over-caffeinated, underslept, and then you have to wake up the next day and have even more caffeine to get by.
Yeah.
So to undo that effect, you know, one of the first steps is don't consume coffee within 10 hours of your bedtime.
Okay.
That works well for most people.
Okay.
Not so much for the fast metabolizers. They can technically get away with that. So maybe we can do a genetic test. I mean, either way, I think we should do a good genetic test to kind of see where you're at.
Yeah.
But a few considerations here. So one of my next go-to suggestions to improve your relationship with caffeine is not to have caffeine within the first 90 minutes of waking. Why? Because you want to experience that endogenous, that natural by the body rise in cortisol that's going to help prime your circadian rhythm. And this is then, you know, the downstream effects of this are so vast. I mean, the circadian rhythm and circadian biology is going to influence every other biological mechanism in your body throughout the day, throughout the week, throughout the month, throughout your life. So kind of like dilating that time frame and enjoying caffeine later allows you to pronounce that natural by the body response. And then that's also going to help promote better sleep at night.
90 minutes is the magic number?
60 to 90 minutes after 60, waking.
Yeah. Is 60 still pretty decent?
60 is pretty good.
Okay. So if I wake up at 6:30 and I wait till 7:30 to have my coffee, that's good enough.
Yeah. I think you mentioned earlier that you were waiting about 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Right. So 60 is going to be a lot better.
Okay.
Yeah.
I could do that.
Yeah. And then, you know, you're going to be able to double down on your natural production of cortisol. Like caffeine, the mechanisms by which it increases energy and productivity is it actually doesn't give you energy. It reduces the perception of fatigue.
Yeah, I know. It's something with adenosine.
Yeah, so it
where
competes.
Where it can go or something.
Yeah, it competes with adenosine for binding sites in the brain. Adenosine is something that we accumulate throughout the day that gets us to feel generally fatigued.
Right.
And so it competes with adenosine, but another mechanism by which it can give you more energy and productivity is that it works as a diuretic, so it causes you to lose water, and that will increase the, you know, your blood pressure and therefore your heart rate. And so you get a combined, like, you know, increase in your respiratory rate, increase in your resting heart rate, and then you also get the adenosine effect. And there's other smaller mechanisms, but those are the main mechanisms by which it kind of gives you this, you know, energy or reduction in perception of fatigue. So let's focus on those two things. You know, realistically, I want to find a way to adjust your intake so that it makes sense for you.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we can try tapering it down and just improving your relationship in the sense that you can be a little more intentional about caffeine use. You know, so I know, for example, that right now it's difficult to get the best sleep ever because you have kids.
Yeah.
And they are keeping you up at night. But I'd say that
actually last night was the first night
that they slept through the
ever,
night.
I think, since we had two kids, that we put them to sleep and we didn't hear a peep until 6:42.
Wow.
Which is like amazing. Literally last night was the first night. I've been training the older one, bribing, negotiating, which is all this. So yeah, last night was the first night. So that's huge.
Cool.
Really huge.
Nice.
Yeah. So
I'll tell you what, you know, last time I was on the show, we spoke a lot about sleep
and
how to adjust your sleep environment and just generally how to get higher quality sleep. And I'm curious if you think there's a way to get your family kind of like in on what to do for better sleep. So for example, getting your kids a pair of Roptics blue blocking glasses, you know, using amber color light bulbs in the house so that they have less of this blue wavelength, and therefore everyone in your home can accumulate melatonin, a little more melatonin together each night. You can turn down the temperature of the house as a whole to 62 to 68 degrees Fahrenheit.
Yeah, we sleep freezing thanks to daddy, thanks to me, nice. Which is good.
Nice. So I think the combination of like Roptics and amber colored bulbs are automatically going to guarantee more melatonin accumulation. The key word is accumulation because it's like the leading up to bedtime.
Yeah.
The way that we're designed, we respond to sunset in this way where there's less blue light in the sky because it's being filtered out by the atmosphere. And so we start to accumulate melatonin as the sky turns this like deep orange red color and eventually black. And so you can simulate that in your home and everyone gets the benefit.
You know what I think? Sleep is like literally, we talk about it all the time, but it's because it's the most important. One of the big things that I like, the dichotomy is like, there's like science, which we talk about a lot mostly, and then there's psychology.
Mm-hmm.
And they're kind of like completely separate, but I do feel like because everyone's like, oh, I know I should order a salad and I know I should just have water. But like, if you know it, then why don't you do it, right? There's a disconnect. It's something with a human psychology that prevents you from doing all these things. I know I shouldn't drink. I know I should not eat fried food. And yet I still do it over and over again. So yeah. Like, what's happening? So I'm not a psychologist, but I definitely, and I know that I've seen people talk about the difference in your decision quality. It goes up like massively when you sleep well.
Mm-hmm.
I know. So I'm curious, like if you have, if you've thought about, cause you focus a lot on the science, like that's your bread and butter, but like.
My background is in psychology.
Yeah.
Actually.
Oh, okay. So like the psychology might be just as important. I think if you can get your science and your psychology knowledge yep. high, then that's like, that's where it's at. Then you really know where you're at and dialed in. So, but I definitely feel like when I sleep well, my decision quality is way higher. And then it just, yeah. and then when you make good decisions, you sleep better. And then when you yeah. sleep better, it's like so important to get that momentum and just you start making 2% progress every day, 1% progress every day yeah. versus going the other direction.
Yeah. And so like, you know, psychology considered, I mean, everything, by the way, that I think everything that we discuss is going to influence your psychology in one way or another.
Yeah.
But sleep works in a really interesting way in that it's the best way, the best opportunity you have on a daily basis to regulate your neurotransmitters. And that plays a huge role in your psychology, you know, regulating your dopamine, replenishing dopamine. So you're motivated when you start the day and energized, focused, serotonin, which just, you know, has so many mechanisms, but one of them is regulating your mood,
right.
for example. Then there's so many neurotransmitters and it's their interplay that we have to consider as well. But your sleep is like that daily software update that you get to regulate everything. And so, of course, it can influence psychology. And going back to these habits that you can maybe enable as a family unit, like they're going to have a small difference on a daily basis. But over time, they're going to compound and it will support the general psychology and mental well-being of everyone in your home.
Yeah.
You know, it's so common nowadays. I see, and I don't know. So I see a lot of young people, especially kids, you know, just totally absorbed by their iPads and yeah. iPhones and everything. And that excess blue light, not just the blue light, but having the you know, this device so close to their face, when you have that narrowed field of vision, that creates stress in the body because the only time you have to focus is something that's so on a focal point, so, you know, with such a narrow yeah. field of vision is when you're running away from danger and you have to quickly decide where sure. you're going to go and how you're going to get away. So when we engage our panoramic field of vision, that automatically is shown to, you know, create a more parasympathetic state. So the point is, you
the
know,
more relaxed
sure
state.
That yeah a more relaxed
like
state.
Looking so, out over a mountain cliff and
yeah,
like looking
yeah.
at the whole world,
like for example yeah. I was in Uber on my phone, I had to catch up with some emails on the way over here, and as soon as I got out of the Uber I was getting him to pee, but at the same time I was looking out at the city because I was like, you know, I've been looking at my phone for like,
you have to like
an
re,
hour now.
Like yeah. recalibrate your brain and your
yeah.
eyes, right? Yeah,
because I want to be relaxed, you know, yeah. when I'm on the show,
for sure.
So anyway, so I see this with a lot of young kids, and one thing that will automatically reduce the harm is mitigating blue light exposure, especially in the later evening. And even in the daytime, it's just like the blue wavelength in those LEDs is so pronounced, it's unnatural. The sun has blue wavelength, and that's the most potent source of blue wavelength that exists. but there's a balance of light in the sun, and there's a wide range of therapeutic wavelengths like red and infrared and UVA and such. So the point is that we should, throughout the day, try to find a more natural balance. So maybe using like a yellow tinted pair of raw optics or other blue blocking glasses, and maybe, you know, using the night shift mode earlier, but especially in the later evening when we need to get good sleep, amber color light bulbs, zero blue wavelength, night shift mode, raw optics.
What we've been doing, which is good, and we didn't even do it strategically, but like, you know, we have like a we have something that I think is good is we're downstairs and we have dinner and then we play and we have some the TV on sometimes and we watch cartoons and whatever, but then we go upstairs and we, you know, we have like no devices up there.
Nice.
And we like, they play with like stuffed animals. We read books. There's like a light, but I don't think it has like, it's like, it puts like the stars on the, mm-hmm. on the ceiling, which I don't nice. Think. It,
like a glow, in, it, like, glow yeah, in the dark?
It like, it's like a little ball, but it like projects mm-hmm. like, nice. Like Starry Night themes, and it's nice. Pretty cool. And it, I don't know, it has like a good calming effect.
Cool.
I don't know what the science would say. And so that takes like 45 minutes. And I feel like that is definitely instrumental to having like a good bedtime for them. Cause there's so much that you can learn from like kids, right? Like if it works for the, like any mistakes you make as an adult, they'll be magnified in kids. Right.
Yeah.
So if you let your kids like watch cartoons until 9:30 and then you're like, all right, now it's time to sleep. And if you think you're just going to like put your kid from watching TV to sleep and it's going to take you 3 minutes, like you're going to learn a hard lesson. So, you know, same thing for you. Right. So it's like, if it's bad for them, it's bad for me too. Right. They're just smaller versions of us.
Yeah.
More basic, just more magnified. So that's something that we do that's good, but also, something that, okay, so for me, and I think a lot, this is important for like people watching too, like especially busy people, I feel like this was, I'm probably biased, projecting bias, but for me, this was my biggest like leak in terms of like eating and sleeping. I have a busy day, like I wake up, I work out, I'm more caffeinated, I'm cranking out work, doing podcasts, content, law firm, clients, busy day. Before you know it, like eat healthy during the day for the most part, like almost always, because I know that if I eat something bad, it'll slow me down, and then kind of like build up a huge appetite.
Mm-hmm.
And then actually still for the most part eat a healthy dinner. Sometimes before I would eat a really bad, really huge dinner because I would overdo it and I'd be like just starving. But then the biggest problem for me was like, okay, I've basically been perfect all day, right? And now it's like I had dinner early, like 6 o'clock, 7, whatever, at home, something healthy. Now it's like 9:30, 10, like it's pretty much the end of the day. There's like 1 hour left in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And I would get like a craving to eat, and I could easily just like suck down like 1500, 2000 calories in that last mm-hmm. hour. And I think that there's probably a lot of people that do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard a lot of people say that they do the exact same thing. And they're like, and then once you get that habit, it becomes really hard to break it, because you're like, you get that like release of all the feelings that you feel, like you feel good and bad when you eat that much food.
Mm-hmm.
You feel bad because you're full and bloated, but you feel good because you're just like super lethargic and like
super sleepy
and like, but what I've noticed, and for me, what has helped me the most in resisting, he's just chilling right behind you. For me, what helps me the most in like, bless you, in resisting that urge to like eat a whole bunch of food at the very end of the day is reminding myself that if I either don't eat, or if I really think I need a few more calories to get like to get like a nice maintenance level or a small deficit for the day, eat something healthy, like something like a little bit of like yogurt, like Greek yogurt or something with good macros. But if I'm in that moment, right, where I'm in the kitchen, I'm getting like some water for the kids or myself right before sleep, taking my magnesium, and like I'm thinking like, oh, I'm kind of hungry. Like, should I slam like a huge, like whatever, turkey cheese sandwich with cream cheese or something? Like, you know, I've started to realize if I do this, it will feel good right now. But then there's this drastic difference in the way, not just the way that I wake up, but the time that I wake up.
Yeah.
And maybe it gets worse as you get older, because you get away with so much when you're young. But if I have that perfect day in terms of diet and exercise and everything and schedule, I like have this, the internal circadian rhythm is like on point.
Yeah.
Versus if I eat that fucking whatever I eat at the end of the night, that circadian rhythm gets all fucked up. And it's really, really clear.
Yeah.
When you're dialed in.
So let's dissect that, and I can try and provide some suggestions and ways that you might be able to mitigate that hunger late in the evening. And by the way, I do want to return to the caffeine stuff in a moment.
Yeah.
But couple of things. First of all, the reason why a large meal like that, the reason why it disturbs your sleep is a couple things. So first of all, large meal will make you sleepy, but it's not going to lead to better sleep.
Yeah, it's a huge difference.
Bulk, yeah, if you have that bulk of food in the midsection in your stomach, that creates a lot of heat in the body, and your body becomes preoccupied.
That's why you get cold sometimes after a meal, right?
Yeah, you're pulling blood from your extremities to the digestive tract. Exactly, that's another reason why you get cold. But that actually leads me to my next point, which is what actually initiates sleep in the body is a decline in your core body temperature. That's what initiates deep sleep. So that's a really important point here, because there's a lot of things that make you sleepy. So we spoke about adenosine. We spoke about melatonin accumulation. I mean, general fatigue, like nervous system exhaustion, you know, managing a lot of responsibility throughout the day. There's a lot of things that drive feeling sleepy and being fatigued. Mm-hmm. But those don't initiate sleep. What initiates sleep is a decline in core body temperature. So a large meal makes you sleepy because you see an upregulation in serotonin that eventually becomes melatonin. But that doesn't mean that you're going to get better sleep. Plus, another huge component here that most people don't talk about when it comes to sleep and eating late is the blood glucose component. So you're going to get this massive spike. I mean, depending on what you eat, but if you're just kind of like mindlessly eating whatever's in your house.
If you're eating like the shit that I used to eat, which is like a bag of crackers like dipped in cream cheese or something, like just whatever you can get, like fast calories as fast as possible.
Because that's the thing is, like, in the later evening, another consideration when it comes to your psychology and your neuroscience is that as you proceed through the day, you will see a decline in your dopamine levels and an increase in serotonin.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, your decision-making goes from being more logical to more emotional. And if you are done with the day, done with your work, you finally have this like freedom, and now you have this upregulation of serotonin, the decision-making might be such that it leads to, you know, overconsumption of whatever feels like it might satisfy you.
So let me break this down. This is a new thing for me, because a lot of this stuff is not new to me, but this is new to me. As the day, I know, is this related to decision fatigue? Is it kind of related?
It can be,
like the thing where you're more logical earlier in the day and you're more emotional later in the day?
It pairs nicely with decision-making fatigue.
Okay. So there's science behind the fact that as the day goes on, you get more emotional with your decisions?
You go from being less logical in your decision-making to more emotional. And this is because of the serotonin and dopamine relationship.
Okay, good. I just wanted
which is another reason why, by the way, why it's so terrible. And this is like most people tuning in are guilty of this. Starting the day within the first 30 minutes, you're on social media. You're like just spending all the dopamine that your body just worked so hard to replenish. Mm-hmm. You're spending it. And then throughout the day, you're craving more of this stuff because you want that similar kind of dopamine fix. Like, you've spent so much and I just need another little fix throughout the day. And it just perpetuates into this like terrible, you know, cycle of can't get enough social media.
So there's a lot of stuff to unpack here, but I want to ask this question because I want to, like, I feel like it's a new area for me. So I used to, some of my best, like most productive times were when I would wake up really early in the morning and I would have like the first few hours of the day to myself.
Yeah.
Sometimes I would spend those hours working out, but sometimes I would literally just spend like 3 hours like reading, looking at my to-do lists, just kind of like, obviously not on social media at all, but like looking inward and like, but also outward and, you know, planning and stuff like that.
Yep.
So is, but I guess what I'm trying to say is, should I be, because right now my day is wake up, little family time, and then right to the gym, mm-hmm. and then get cleaned up. And I'm always kind of like working, but I'm doing like maintenance stuff as opposed to like offline, D&D mode activated, like yep. planning, like high level shit. So I basically, I'm questioning whether or not I should be maybe like switching my routine up a little bit and like spending the first 5 or 6 hours of the day like doing the heavy lifting and like really looking inward, and then maybe mm-hmm. taking like an hour break in the middle of the day to get my exercise.
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say that it's not something that you have to do every day. I would maybe make small adjustments depending on what the priority is. Like, for example, in this case, one of the things that you expressed earlier that you feel might be holding you back or doing a number on you is this excess caffeine consumption. Maybe look at, why am I consuming so much caffeine? Are the tasks that I'm doing throughout the day so difficult where I need that degree of extrinsic motivation to get me to accomplish something? So maybe that reveals
yeah.
an incentive to wake up early and do the difficult tasks then when you're undisturbed, everyone else is sleeping, you have no notifications bothering you. You know, maybe that's the opportunity that you need so that then throughout the day you don't need as much caffeine. If yeah. that's one of the reasons.
Well, the bulk of my caffeine is coming from that pre-workout, which right. I'm just doing it because whatever. I don't even feel it that much. So I don't, mm-hmm. I could eliminate that, or I could go down to one scoop, which would take out almost 200 milligrams a day. So I think I gotta toy with that. But yeah, like, am I using maybe I don't need the caffeine because of the,
yeah.
just or reordering things.
Yeah.
I do really like having a reliable routine. Like yeah. It's not that I fall apart without it. It's just that I like genuinely love looking forward to, like, I love like going to sleep knowing like, all right, I get to like spend yeah. time with my kids. Then I get to go right to the gym, I get to crush, yep. get to shower up, clean up, put on my suit, put on my work clothes, go to the office, spend time there, maybe go to a lunch meeting, go back to the office, a little more work, then family time. Like, there's something, and that's psychology for sure. There's something, yeah, something in human psychology,
in the
like
morning, yeah.
having like a, like, I tend to like not malfunction, but I tend to like not be happy when it's like, oh, the day just changed. And like, instead of like looking forward to what I know the day that I predictably can look forward to, it's all like now, oh, you have this meeting out of nowhere and this, yeah, or well, this, or
we're creatures of habit,
yeah.
and there's safety in routine. So, yeah. and I mean, the conversation of safety is a whole other thing.
Like, yeah.
sometimes you don't want to be so safe. And
yeah.
The point
sure.
is that if you have a routine to look forward to and you have habits to look forward to, that generally reflects, you know, a certain kind of discipline and commitment to self-improvement and to living the life that you want. So the point is, maybe there's a way for us to find a happy medium for you right now where it's like you can wake up early enough where you do some of the really difficult things and then you dilate. Maybe it's an addition. Maybe it's waking up just 30 minutes earlier, because as you expressed just a few moments ago, you think you can and should get that 60-minute interval before you have your first cup of coffee, right?
Yeah.
So maybe if you wake up 30 minutes earlier, and in those first 30 minutes, totally undisturbed, before you see your family, you do some of the most difficult tasks. And maybe that task isn't necessarily a work task, but it's a deep reflection that you need to do
yeah.
to be more intentional and present throughout the day. So it's like, it's really an investment in your psychology, in your mental well-being, so that you can be more intentional with the things that you do and the things that you add into your body, one of them being caffeine.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a happy compromise. That
I would love to wake up at like 5:45 and just go on a half an hour walk.
What's your current wake up time?
6:30.
Perfect. I think 5:45 is very realistic.
Yeah.
And if you go out for a walk around that time, I mean, you know, no phone, nothing. No one's up.
Yeah, like, yeah. No, there's something about being awake and like knowing that there's nothing that, you know, it's good to have your phone off like at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, but back your mind, you're like, I'm going to have to turn it on soon and I'm going to have to see stuff. There's something about being awake for 45 minutes, an hour, and just being like, when I turn my phone back on, there's still nothing going to, I know there's nothing going to be waiting for me. It allows you to like get to presence. Like a different place. Yeah, it's like mentally.
It's like you have the most presence. Like that's the time of day where you have the most presence typically. I mean, for yourself, right? Like obviously later in the day you have presence with your family and that's really rewarding. But it's clear to me, and I think it's clear to you, that you need to have some of that for yourself. And if you think about this from a psychological and neuropsychological perspective, neuropsychophysiological perspective is the more accurate way to put it.
That's a way above my pay grade, but yeah.
Well, you are retaining, you have all that fresh dopamine in the morning for yourself.
This is what I think, sorry to interrupt you.
Reflect deeply.
You see all these like stories about you have to be a morning person, like you want to be a successful entrepreneur, you have to like wake up at 4 in the morning. And then you have like these people that are like, no, like I do all my best work between midnight and 3 in the morning. And I think obviously there's never like you have to do anything.
Yeah, there's
right?
never, people love to say it on social media because it gets views,
but
so bio-individual.
But I do think that there's a clear advantage to the people who are the morning people.
Yeah.
Is that, and this ties into what we talked about before, which is you're going to get 4 hours, whatever. If you wake up at 4 a.m, if you like to work between midnight and 4 a.m, let's just call it 4 hours. Like if you're willing to work on extreme schedules, you can get 4 hours of like true time where no one will bother you, right? And it's 4 hours either way you cut it. Like it doesn't matter if it's 4 a.m. to 8 a.m. or midnight to 4 a.m., right? Yeah. You can get those 4 hours. The key difference is, are they the first 4 hours of your day or are they the last?
Yeah,
and if they're
absolutely
the first four, then science says that they're going to be better than the last four.
Well, hold on.
Yeah.
Yes and no. Yes, to make your point, yes.
Okay.
But I would say no because there's people that make a living or spend their time doing creative work. And so when they have lower dopamine and higher serotonin, they can be more creative in the evening. So like, for example, I recently met a musician, shout out to John. Oh my God.
If you're going to do a shout out, you better know the guy's name.
I know the guy's name. I met him briefly the other day.
Oh, it's okay.
John.
No, but it's funny because I was going to make Roseburg, this analogy before.
John, I need to pull this up.
I was going to say, you hear about these people who are like, no, like I do my best work between 12 and 4. And I feel like obviously this is just me like pulling shit out of my ass. But like I feel like a lot of the people who say who are those camp, they're doing creative. They're like the more eclectic. They're like, I do my sculptures, you know, from 12 to 4 in the morning. Or I'm writing code. I'm like, it's more creative work, right?
Well, yeah. So when they are tasks that are just easy to kind of execute, like just checking off a to-do list.
Yeah.
Those are typically the tasks you want to program later into the day because you can do them in the morning, but in the morning you want to do the really difficult stuff.
Okay.
Really, really difficult. Like the dopamine is going to help you overcome that hurdle of difficulty. So, which I don't know if that's redundant, whatever. It's the point is, I was going to mention my friend as I was typing in John, I realized, okay, it's John Roseboro.
Okay.
Roseboro.
Okay.
He's a musician. He's about my age. And he's a bossa nova musician. He's a badass. Okay. And I was having a conversation with him actually on New Year's Day. It was between me, him, and my brother over a bonfire. My brother's also a musician. And they were talking about, you know, moments throughout the day where they kind of get that best, the best flow and the best creativity.
Yep.
And so my brother has another job. I mean, he manages my dad's ophthalmology practice.
Okay.
He went to business school. So my brother just kind of is in a position right now where anytime he has a stroke of flow or creativity and he's not busy with work, he'll just kind of make it happen. Like he'll just kind of write a lyric or, you know, whatever. John, however, is doing this full time. And what John described as his best moments of flow are when he's like about to fall asleep. Like he's about to fall asleep. Like he's in like that zone where like his eyes are starting to close. And he just like grabs his guitar in bed playing like, you know, stroking his guitar. So I'm like, dude.
Something about accessing a different part of the brain, right?
Yeah. It's he's like, listen, dude, there's no one bothering me at that time of day. It's just me and my guitar.
Yeah.
And I'm like falling sleepy and I'm kind of in like that hazy, dreamy state.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, well, this is really consistent with, you know, a surge in serotonin. And so it doesn't surprise me why. For example, by the way, for those, just to make the point here, a lot of people tuning in either have experienced or are familiar with experiences related to psilocybin or magic mushrooms.
Yep.
That works that upregulates serotonin activity. It's okay. One of the reasons why we get these creative kind of visuals and expressions and feelings, and it's because of the serotonin response. So it just kind of goes to prove the point that your endogenous serotonin levels rise later in the evening as you exhaust dopamine as well. That plays a role, and it leads you to be more creative. And to go back to our initial point, that might be the most productive thing for someone, even someone like you. Like sometimes as a lawyer, as an attorney, sometimes it's not so much logical, but it has to be more creative in the way that you engage in a problem or you solve an issue.
Yeah.
You know, my field, I have to use my brain a lot logically. You know, I do a lot of logical work, but there is an emotional component. So for example, I will develop a lot of like logical seed ideas for content earlier in the day. Mm-hmm. And then as I'm meditating early in the morning, and then later in the evening, I sprinkle in like that creative element that's going to help me kind of tell a story with that seed idea.
Like a twist on it.
So that most people can understand and interpret it in a way that makes sense for them in their daily life and in a fun, you know, making the science sexy and creative so that it can really do, so we can really do it justice, because the logical scientific component sometimes goes over people's head.
Yeah.
So yeah, just to kind of describe the nuance and prove the point that either one of those can be productive. And in your case, maybe right now, I think it would count to kind of get those 30 to 45 minutes on your own with high dopamine, no distractions, no responsibility, to reflect deeply and really harness that intrinsic drive and build presence and intention for the day ahead so that you can modify and be more intentional with your caffeine consumption. And if you're saying that you're not even noticing much of an effect with the pre-workout, maybe what you really need is just to kind of develop that intrinsic drive to move your body in that sense. Maybe you have to, something that helps a lot is asking yourself, why am I doing this?
Yeah. Oh, before I forget too, I want to talk about, it's not caffeine, but he went down for the count, which is cool. Which is where I want him to be. I think it's a good look. It's a cute sleeping dog, but we don't get to see his little cute face. But cyclic dextrin, I want to make sure to talk to you about that.
Cyclic dextrin?
Yeah.
What the hell is
cyclic,
that?
I think that's what it is. I can pull it up. It's basically like this. I think it's Japanese invented. It's basically like, because I train fasted, that's just what I like.
Yep.
I just got used to it and I really like, I don't want to be digesting anything in the morning. Cyclic dextrin is like it's an intra workout. So it's something you drink while you're working out. Mm-hmm. And I've definitely noticed that it makes me feel like more energetic during my workouts and less flat. I've tried having like one bowl of white rice, like bodybuilder friend told me, like
from the very beginning of the day.
Try having like with my coffee in the morning, like an hour before my workout, having like one serving of white rice before my workout.
No.
Don't
do that.
Wow, interesting.
You are not a bodybuilder getting on stage, NPC, shooting right. You know, drugs. No disrespect to your friend.
Right.
But that is a total bro science, I'm going to be on stage with my fucking steroids flexing logic.
Okay.
I really hate to bash the bodybuilders, but that, like starting the day with a bunch of white rice totally fucks your glucose levels for the rest of the day.
Yeah, I know.
You might get a better pump, but bro, there's more to your life than a good
pump. But not like a
pump.
Huge amount, like one serving, like one cup of white rice.
That's a lot.
It didn't really bog
rice.
Me down, though. When I did do it, it didn't like make me feel lethargic because it was not a ton.
I mean, you're more insulin sensitive in the morning.
Yeah, no, like, I know that. I've heard that. But yeah, I stopped doing it just because it didn't really, I don't know.
Plus, a lot of bodybuilders are in a totally different, like their physiology is working so differently because they're shooting stuff that helps regulate their glucose. Like a lot of bodybuilders take metformin, which is for diabetics to regulate the blood glucose levels. Dude, please don't take
metformin. No, I'm not. Do that. Well, I'm not taking anything. I'm not on any gear. And but the cyclic dextrin, I did some reach on it and I asked my friend, I should have asked you, but now I'm asking you. It's only been like a week. So
I think it's an immediate carb source.
It's an immediate and it yeah. read it. Let me pull it
up. I used to take that back when I was doing road cycling and I needed something intra workout that would be like
highly branched cyclic dextrin.
Yeah. This isn't going to be, don't quote me on this, but I think it's just like it readily will replenish glycogen or keep your glycogen stores topped off as like a highly branched, you know, carbohydrate source, whatever. Honestly, like, I'm not an expert here.
Yeah.
But there's a couple of things I can recommend that I am a little more familiar with that can give you what you want with less detrimental, potentially detrimental effects, or without still taking advantage of like the fast, for example, which beyond providing a convenient way to consume less calories and therefore establish a calorie deficit on a daily basis, helping you lose some fat. That's one of the ways that fasting works to improve health. But another way is that you get this intermittent metabolic switch. So you go from the fed state to the fasted state, yep. And that ketone to glucose switch on a regular daily basis is super, super, super good for longevity, improving and upregulating BDNF in the brain-derived neurotrophic factor, and CREB. So these are two things that are going to help with neurogenesis, neuroplasticity, synaptogenesis, and they're also going to help with your memory. So that glucose to ketone switch, that's another mechanism by which fasting is helpful and healthy. Now, one thing that you can do to kind of maintain that fasted state, or at least still elicit some of these benefits without necessarily breaking a fast from a metabolic perspective, or at least if you do break it,
it's momentary. Does the dextrin break it? Because even though it seems like it should obviously break it, it doesn't affect me in the same way that like other ways of breaking my fast would. Like if I were to break my, you know how when you break your fast and you, especially with carbs, like you get hungrier sooner as opposed to if you're just fasting, you kind of can go forever ish. Mm-hmm. But like when I take it, when I'm working out, I feel like it just gets used up immediately while I'm lifting weights. And then I go right back to a fasted state. I don't know what the science says about that, but.
So again, I think with dextrin specifically, my knowledge is limited.
Okay.
But I want to make sure that we can guarantee, and by guarantee, I don't mean, guarantee according to my knowledge and limited knowledge of dextrin. I just mean like actually find a way, because what you want is you want more energy for your fat, for your workout. You want to enjoy the benefits of fasting as well. I would say that my opinion, what you should do is instead of taking the dextrin, you should take essential amino acids.
Okay.
Because what they do, and specifically Keon essential amino acids, and I'm affiliated with Keon. I know it's an incredible brand, third party tested. It's really, really good. But the reason why I recommend Keon is because their blend of essential amino acids is identical to human muscle tissue. Like the ratios of the different aminos. But the amount of tryptophan is relatively lower. Mm. The reason why this is important is because as you do exercise and you break down muscle fiber, those proteins get broken down into the individual amino acids. And eventually, when you get this increase in breakdown of muscle tissue, it goes into the bloodstream, communicates with the brain via the blood-brain barrier, and your brain goes, wow, look at all this, all these aminos, especially tryptophan. Look at all this tryptophan, which is also the precursor of serotonin and melatonin. Mm-hmm. Look at all this tryptophan. We're breaking down a lot of muscle tissue. Let's pump the gas on the break because, you know, we're doing a lot of activity. We're breaking down more than, you know, we can effectively recover from, just to put it simply. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of puts the brakes on you. And so in the morning, when you first wake up, there can be a little bit of this like melatonin residue as you're, you know, proceeding through the day, getting the day started and seeing this rising cortisol. Cortisol, melatonin are for the most part inversely related. So the point is when you add in this essential amino acid, which is zero calorie,
yep.
And it's the precursor of protein, it's going to improve your performance during the workout because it's going to compete with tryptophan across the blood-brain barrier. It's going to reduce the perception of fatigue. And it's going to immediately give you the building blocks of protein to elicit, you know, mTOR for muscle protein synthesis. And it's going to give you kind of like the best bang for your buck, if you will, at giving you a nice energetic focus for your workout, still give you the benefits of fasting, and then immediately begin the process of protein synthesis. So these are things, these three things are dextrin can't do.
Let me pull it up real quick because I want to put it on. I want to put it on my list because I don't know why I've slept on essential amino acids, but what should I Google?
Look up. Go on. Get Keon. Get KION.com. and look at their aminos. They have capsules or a powder.
Aminos powder? Yeah, I like the powder. I
want. So what I'll do is I'll take like two scoops in the morning before a fasted workout, and I feel like I'm in a fed state. Like I don't feel full, but I feel energized. I feel focused. And you still get a lot of the benefits of fasting. And plus, it's zero calorie. These are the building blocks of protein. It's zero calorie.
Can you, would you ever mix that with like the LMNT?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Like my, so my perfect, like my favorite fasted pre-workout hydration mix is, 32 ounces of clean water, spring water.
Yep.
I'll add in a scoop of either Element, either like a full packet of Element, or as of late, I've been doing Relyte, R-E-L-Y-T-E.
Okay.
Which is, my opinion, a better alternative to Element now because the salt they use is Redmond Real Salt from Utah. So it's got zero.
Yeah, I'm getting ads on Instagram about, I don't know which
for
one.
For Redmond?
No, about other ones saying our, that's like shows you theirs and shows you Element.
Yeah.
Is, you know, ours is better for
exercise. Yeah, I think Neon is probably one of them. I got ads for that too. Anyway, Redmond Real Salt is going to have 60 minerals in it, zero heavy metals.
Okay.
So it's great.
Okay.
Anyway, one scoop of the Relyte in clean water. I do 5 grams of creatine monohydrate, also from Keon. Mm. And then I'll add in one or two scoops of the essential amino acids. And then I'll do one pack of Timeline Urolithin A, which is like superfood for mitochondria.
What is that one?
Timeline. It's by MitoPure Timeline Urolithin A. And they have these little individual packets of the Urolithin A with like a blueberry powder. So it's like this delicious mix of stuff that just gets you, oh my gosh, on a different level in the morning.
I might need you to send me that one.
Yeah, I'll send all this over. So all of this stuff is going to give you super clean energy, caffeine free, and technically speaking, it can kick you out of a fast.
But I don't care that much.
It's for a few minutes. Like you get to experience this while still seeing a lot of the benefits of fasting. It's not traditional fasting in the sense that you're not eating any calories and now all of a sudden like you know you're in a more ketogenic state. A lot of people think if I have a little bit of honey I'll break my fast. Okay, yeah, but it's a little bit of honey, you're gonna break the fast for a few minutes and then you're gonna jump right back into ketosis. Like
yeah, but I always laugh when people are like, oh, my eating window is at 8 o'clock and they're like I'm and it's like we're like gonna have dinner at 7:45. I'm like it's like it's not about these 15 minutes, it's about implementing like fasting as a part of your life. Like but whatever.
And by the way, I should mention that fasting between men and women is very different.
Yeah.
So for the women that are tuning in, I would not follow the fasting protocols that men are doing. I think you should really take the time, and men should do this too. Men should learn about the female biorhythm and female hormones and how they fluctuate throughout the month and how, you know, we should adjust our lifestyle, our nutrition, our fasting, and all these other hormetic stressors like calorie restriction, sauna and infrared light and cryotherapy. You know,
we're so much different animals. Like it's we're have you read The Way of the Superior Man?
I did the audiobook. Yeah,
you read it?
Yeah,
I'm reading it. It's amazing. Like it gives you such perspective, like on men and women. Like we are so much different, and to deny that is just like it's just you're gonna put yourself in such a bad place if you fail to see the dichotomy of men and women, and like they have their cycles and like their energies come from a different place. Like masculinity and femininity are being aware of that is, and then of course the science matters a lot too.
Yeah.
A ton.
The science on women's health is so limited. In fact, last time I was in your podcast studio, I was here with Dr. Jessica DuPont, and she's an expert in women's health and in reproductive health.
Okay.
And we spoke about this. I mean, we really went deep on the differences in our physiology and how men and women can cater to women's physiology in the modern day, because this science and the research is so limited.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're starting to uncover some good science that suggests what kind of lifestyle changes we can make so that we can continue to be as complementary as possible, because we are two different. It's almost like we're two totally different creatures.
I want to like finish the loop.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree 100% with that. And it's helping me like with my wife and just like understand how things work. But, I want to, do you think I could have, so that drink that we talked about, like this ultimate, like first thing in the morning, whatever.
That stack is.
Do you drink it before you work out? Does it matter if you're drinking it while you work out or before or?
So what I would do is if, because I know that you have like, between the time you wake up and the time you're exercising is typically like within 60 minutes, right? Within 60 minutes.
I could change it. I'm just, for me, I wake up at 6:30. Let's just say I'm going to change that to 6.
Yeah.
Let's say I wake up at 6, mm-hmm. have my athletic greens and water right away, have my coffee at 7, mm-hmm. and then get rid of the kids and stuff at 8. Mm-hmm. Like, then I could have my whatever it is, workout, drink, I could have it on the way to the gym while I'm working out. I could have one. What I've been doing now is I have the pre-workout right before I leave the house. Mm-hmm. So I take 20 minutes and I like usually I'm reading because I'm getting caffeinated from the pre-workout. And then right, I finish it and then I make the cyclic dextrin and I bring that and I drink that while I'm working out.
Okay, so get this. If you were, the concoction that I just described, if that's the only thing that you were having in the morning to hydrate, then the 32 ounces plus everything else would make sense. Now, if you're already hydrating with some athletic greens, so you have a little bit of hydration in the morning, and now you're just strictly drinking this pre-workout, then I would do the same concoction, but with relatively less water, so like 24 ounces of water, so that the concentration of electrolytes is relatively higher, which is going to be much more beneficial for exercise since you're sweating and losing a lot of electrolyte.
Okay.
So if it's just general hydration, a little more diluted. If it's pre or during exercise, especially if you're outside, if you're in Miami outside doing this,
no, I don't want to do I would
diminish
I sweat
the concentration
way too much.
Yeah, I would suggest increasing the concentration of electrolyte even more, so diminishing the water even more, like 20 ounces of water,
making it even stronger.
Yeah. So in your case, I think generally 24 ounces of water and drinking this, starting like maybe having half of it in the half hour leading up to the activity and the other half during. That's what I would suggest.
And can I put my pre-workout in that too?
You can. I mean,
maybe sure. I would go down to one scoop. Yeah. So I'll take out the cyclic dextrin and then make a concoction.
It's going to be quite the concoction, but I would experiment with it.
Why not?
Yeah. Make sure you get one of those like little mixer tools. You know what I mean?
I have one of those.
Yeah, okay.
Well, I have a Yeti that I use, the firm Yeti.
Cool.
That's a 32 ounce and I'll put it a little bit lower.
Perfect.
Then I just scoop everything in, shake it up, put one ice cube, which actually I've been taking the ice cube out because the water's already cold from my like home thing. So, and then I'll just sip that and then.
How do you filter your water at home?
Yeah, this is probably needs to be upgraded, but we get the gallon, the 6 gallon jugs delivered in plastic bottles.
Of spring water.
Yeah.
Okay. I would suggest you own your home, right?
Yeah.
I would suggest that you install something central to the house that filters your water, like really filters it. Like I'm talking like reverse osmosis, then remineralizing it. I don't know if it's energizing, ionizing or energy. I forget the word, but there's all these different things you can do to water to make it more biologically consistent. You know, now there's people that are adding in structuring units to the water filters to have, you know, structured water. I mean, the science and the data here is a bit limited, but there seem to be benefits of.
And you can just get like, you can just buy like a unit that does it all and just put it somewhere.
So Greenfield
connect it.
Water Solutions.
Okay.
They have a, like a home unit. I just got one for, cause I'm renting my place. So I got one, under the sink and it's like a 5-stage filter that then remineralizes, structures and energizes the water.
Expensive?
That was $1,200.
And it's
the whole home. I think it's like $5,000.
Oh, to put it on every outlet? No, if I just wanted one place where we all got all of our drinking water.
Oh, then just do it. The benefit of this is that you also want to shower with clean water.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
but you probably get a lot of benefits from changing the drinking water.
Oh, 100%.
I mean, yeah.
But when you're showering honestly is kind of like drinking the water in the sense that it goes into your skin.
Yeah, you're absorbing a lot. Interesting.
But on top of that, you're inhaling the water vapor. And you know, now that we have, I actually want to use the screens for something if it's cool with you.
Yeah, I mean,
let's go on go to ewg.org and look up the tap water database. So just go to google.com.
Yeah,
look up EWG tap water database. and then look it up by look up your zip code.
Let's see if I can do it. If I can do
this, is going to be. I mean, almost everyone on the podcast right now can do the same, and I think most people will be shocked by what's in their tap water.
Oh, it does. Let me see something here. Let me see if we can do it.
So in my case right now, I've got a Symbiotica shower head filter in my shower. In my bathroom sink, I have a Filter Baby filter. And then in my kitchen, I've got the Greenfield Water Solutions 5-stage with the add-on structuring unit and then remineralization unit. And once I get my home, which is probably going to be within the next couple of years, I'm going to get like a whole house filtration system, because then it's also like, all right, what kind of water am I washing my clothes in? You know,
so Dave, can you make it so that you can see my phone?
That's awesome, man.
Yeah, you could do it, right? You did it, Dave?
Yeah, I see it.
So let's put in 3317. Will you put your zip code in?
Yep.
And then it just shows you.
So I think it's like view report.
Should I enter it again here?
I think you have to scroll down. Once you enter it, scroll down.
Is this not the right one?
Let me see. Yeah, view utility. Okay, so crazy. 8 contaminants. Well, there's 24 total contaminants detected. 8 of them exceed EWG health guidelines. So let's go ahead and see. All right, so arsenic, heavy metal, it has 243 times the health guideline. The potential effect is cancer. Chromium, 4.3 times the health guideline. Potential effect, cancer. Haloacetic acids, HAA5. Potential effect, cancer, 286 times. So that's like 28.6 parts per billion. And what they recommend is anything below 0.1 part per billion, just wow, to make the point. Haloacetic acids, HAA9, 627 times the guideline, cancer. And there's, you know, the list goes on. So yeah. The point is that you don't want to be drinking this stuff. You don't want to be showering it. You probably don't want to be washing your clothes in it. And like, it's not just that, like, yeah, the one-off scenario, okay, that's fine. But remember, this is you're going to be in the house for the
decades. We're going to be there for the next 20 years.
You shower and use drink water every single day, all day long.
That's wild.
And the crazy thing about these heavy metals is that they bioaccumulate. They build up in your body.
Yeah.
So I actually did a podcast yesterday where I made the point describing the heavy metals in our ocean and how it influences the fish that we eat. You know, these bigger species of fish that are higher in the trophic levels, they're higher up in the food web, they have the highest concentrations of heavy metals like mercury because they bioaccumulate and they biomagnify.
And they go up the food chain, literally.
Yeah, so
right?
I think it's a crime to feed a child swordfish or a big tuna because it's a small person.
Yeah.
And the concentration of mercury is so high.
Wow. That's crazy.
And so think about the chronic effect.
But man, it's scary.
And so there are a few ways to counteract this. Like I really don't want to fearmonger. I really am not doing this to scare people. I just think that it's like an easy win to counteract the environmental, the toxic environmental load that might seem small on a daily basis, but if you look at the vast scope of your life in the next 10, 20, 30 years, like it's going to build up. And when it becomes a problem, it's going to be a big problem.
It's too late too.
It's too late.
Right? Yeah.
Crazy. So anyway, you can upgrade your water filtration and purification. And then I would also suggest adding in like chlorella, for example, which is a microalgae, which can bind, like the chlorophyll in there will bind to these heavy metals and can detoxify them. I mean, just generally eating dark leafy greens will do something similar. In fact, when it comes to eating like red meat, a lot of the charring that you see on red meat when you grill it has HCAs, heterocyclic amines, which are associated with cancer. They are carcinogenic. And by eating dark leafy greens with your red meat that has charring on it, it'll bind to the HCAs and it can detoxify them. Mm. So the point is that most of us should be eating more dark leafy greens. Chlorella is a very easy, simple, and efficient way to do that. I recommend the brand Energy Bits, chlorella and spirulina. It's the highest grade, super high quality. So yeah, man, we have to be more careful. And then also consuming selenium on a daily basis or every other day, like from Brazil nuts, which can bind and detoxify.
Selenium?
Yeah.
You ever see the show Dr. Pol?
No.
He's an animal vet. It's hilarious. It's my wife's favorite show. It's like the perfect thing for her to watch before she goes to sleep. It's like a veterinarian who just like heals animals and like fixes beautiful them. It's a great TV show. It's randomly like there was a dog that was a pack of animals on the farm that was dying. All they needed was selenium. So it's funny last night. But so we got down the water rabbit hole because we're talking about like my perfect pre-workout drink. So I'm gonna go down to one scoop of pre-workout, which will like drastically reduce my daily caffeine by like 40% or 30. One scoop of pre-workout, essential amino acids, my element packet. I can do this all together, right? There's no reason why I can't do it all together, right? And then one other thing that I have bookmarked, right?
You can. I think it's cool to do. Yeah, the MitoPure timeline supplement. It's like a powder and it contains urolithin A. I just did a podcast with Dr. Emily Werner. She has a PhD in this stuff. So that's all for today's show. Thank you so much for tuning in today. For all of the show notes, including clickable links to anything and everything that we discussed today, everything from discount codes to videos to research articles, books, tips, tricks, techniques, and of course, to learn more about the guest on today's episode, all you have to do is head to my website, andrespreschel.com. That's AndresPreschel.com and go to podcasts. You can also leave your feedback, questions, and suggestions for future episodes, future guests, so on and so forth. Thanks again for tuning in, and I'll see you on the next one. Have a lovely rest of your day.